Good morning. I'm Coach Jake, and today we're continuing this series in the Sermon on the Mount about salt and light. Jesus tells us, as Daniel read, that we are the salt of the earth, we're the light of the world, and I believe the rest of the Sermon on the Mount, it's explaining how to live up to that calling that Jesus has given us. And so today specifically, we're going to be looking at a key theme here. We're going to be looking at greatness. And a couple questions may come to your mind when you hear greatness. One is, what is greatness? And another one that might come to mind is, how could I be great? Or even, could I be great? And a couple stories come to my mind when I think about this word greatness and about people who we would probably all say were great, or at least great at something, but who other people said, no, you can't be great. So there's a lot of examples of this. You may already know Michael Jordan got cut from his high school basketball team. And I wonder about that coach, whoever he is, wherever he is. Like, does he go to sleep at night every once in a while and think about that? About, like, I cut Michael Jordan. Like, not the best move. One I came across just earlier this week that's a local one, is Walt Disney, and the internet tells a couple of different stories about it, so I'm not sure exactly what is true, but so Walt Disney used to live around here, actually had an office right up the street from us, and when he was a little kid, he and his dad and his brother delivered newspapers for the Kansas City Star. Now, this is where the stories kind of diverge. The common story you'll see on the internet is that Walt Disney was fired from the Kansas City Star as a cartoonist because he lacked imagination, is the quote that comes up a lot on the internet. The Kansas City Star's own website says that he applied for the job of a cartoonist and they turned him down. So I don't know for sure what exactly happened, but somebody at the Kansas City Star thought, Walt Disney, we can't trust him with a comic strip. Like, he's not good enough for that. So lots of examples of that. And it's not just Michael Jordan or Walt Disney that had people in their life saying, you can't be great. My guess is every single person in the room, you can think of vivid times when people spoke that to you about, you'll never be this, you'll never be great, you'll never succeed in that way, it's trying for too much. Greatness. Another quote on this idea of these naysayers comes from Mark Twain. It says, keep away from people who try to belittle your ambitions. Small people always do that. But the really great make you feel that you too can become great. You could probably picture like people like that in your mind too. People who weren't intimidated or afraid of you trying to excel, but were actually coaching or encouraging you on about, like, yes, come up here and be great. Not throwing mud at you that you couldn't do it. So the really great make you feel that you too can become great. The thing that drew me to this quote was that it rings true for Jesus. If we think about who is the greatest ever, it's Jesus. And this quote rings true about him. Jesus wants us to realize that we too can be great. I mean, to a crazy level, Jesus is great and he's trying to call us up to be great like him. So we're going to read a passage where he does that. It's in Matthew chapter 5. I'll have it on the screen, but if you want to turn there, it may help you out later to have the passage in front of you. So Matthew 5 verse 17, Jesus says, do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. So the law and the prophets, that's what we would typically refer to as the Old Testament. So if you're holding your Bible there, it's about the first two-thirds of the Bible. And he says, I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. Sometimes we treat the Old Testament like that doesn't really matter, but Jesus is saying here that I actually want to fill up all that that was preparing. You picture almost it as a cup and Jesus is going to fill it. And when we look at the rest of the Sermon on the Mount, he'll do that. He'll quote these commands from earlier in God's word, and then he'll talk about fulfilling them, like an even higher calling to to those commands and a full spirit in them. Verse 18, for truly I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law and everything, until everything is accomplished. Verse 19 is where we get into greatness. Therefore, anyone who sets aside one of the least of these commands and teaches others accordingly will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. Jesus comes at the negative side of it before the positive. He says, anybody who says, well, like, that doesn't really apply to me, that one doesn't really matter, and teaches other people that same thing, to do that same thing, he's saying you'll be least. But he does say, there's a lot of grace here, says you'll be least in my kingdom. It's this inclusive statement. You'll still be a part of the family, but you'll have missed your opportunity for greatness. So I do want to encourage you with this right now. If you feel like up to this point in your life, you've missed a whole bunch of opportunities or you've gone the wrong way when you knew better, this passage is saying if you set aside some of the commands of Jesus, Jesus is still willing to have you be a part of his family, but he's calling you to do different, to leave that behind. Now, this is the gracious verse. Verse 20 is going to have some wrath in it, so we'll get there. If you're like, no, Jake, we need to be harder on people. I know some of you are actually like that, so it's coming in verse 20. But first, the last half of verse 19, but whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Here's our key phrase from today's lesson. Greatness, as Jesus defines it, to be a great in his family is to do two things, is to practice his commands and to teach other people to do them. Think about your own life. All of us, with these two things, we probably are more comfortable with one or more naturally good at one than the other. Some of you, you want to just keep your head down. You just want someone to tell you what to do. You just want to keep your head down and try to do it. And that's how you're comfortable. You don't want to talk about it. You don't want to tell other people what to do. You don't want to get involved with other people. You just want to try to, I'm going to do my own thing. Stay out of my lane. Other people, they're very natural at getting involved in other people's problems and they want to help, but they don't maybe take care of their own stuff. You know, they're naturally trying to solve things for other people, not work on their own stuff. This is talking about somebody who both, they do the right thing themselves, day in and day out, but they don't stay alone in that. They bring other people alongside them, not to tell them that they're great, but to show them how to do the same thing. They're teaching people as they do. And that's what Jesus calls great. It's two pieces to it. Let's read this verse 20. We're going to come back to verse 19, but verse 20. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus is always very clear all throughout the Gospels, like Jesus came to change things. Jesus came because we needed a Savior. Jesus came because our eternity, it's at risk. Jesus is saying, like, there's people that aren't going to be in my family forever. Jesus came because that's not the situation that God wants. God wants every single one of us to be a great part of his family. But here, he says, make sure you don't get my message wrong. Because here's how the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, what they thought is, we're going to read the Old Testament really closely. We're going to make a very long list of every rule that's there. We're going to add some extra rules just in case, just so we don't get anywhere close to the wrong. And they got so busy trying to control that they do things like, oh man, we're not supposed to eat meat today, so I better strain all the liquids I drink through a cloth just so no little gnat will get in my water and then I accidentally drink or get in my wine or whatever they're drinking, but so I accidentally drink meat, you know? So that, like, particular, but then Jesus says, but you throw out these much bigger issues of, like, love and justice. They miss these giant things. Jesus says you swallow a camel and you strain out a gnat. This is the type of people that they were. Now, it's real easy to just say, like, oh, yeah, those Pharisees, man, they're terrible. So glad I'm not like them. If they were here today, they would say that exact same thing. Oh, yeah, those other people, I'm so glad I'm not like them. So it's okay to look at this and be like, am I like those guys? Do I think that I have it figured out? That one's a hard one for me. I bet it's a hard one for a lot of us. Do we think we got it figured out? That we already know enough that we can control things. We already know we've got it figured out. We can do our life right. We're in God's blessing. That's what the Pharisees thought. We're right. Everybody else is wrong. That was their attitude. Because Jesus isn't saying you'll be called least in my family. Jesus is saying you're not a part of my family when you act like these guys, when you live like these guys. So it's pretty sobering for us, right? Okay, well, my hope for us today is that unlike the Pharisees, we can come to Jesus and say, Jesus, I can't do it all on my own. Jesus, I need your help, right? If we come with that sort of attitude, if I don't have all the answers, Jesus, I need your help. I'm going to try to do the right thing, but I'm going to keep coming back for more help. That's the right spot to be in. And so if you're in that place today, then you're probably like, well, I'm back on verse 19. I want to be great in Jesus' eyes. I want to follow his commands and teach other people to do them, right? Well, then maybe your head starts to roll with like all the different things that you know that Jesus commanded. Even if you've not been around church very long, even a simple thing like love God with all your heart, it's one of Jesus' commandments. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's another commandment. Right there, we're probably already feeling maxed out, right? We're already feeling like I'm falling way short. And then maybe your mind keeps rolling with more and more things. Even if you got your Bible open, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, there's a lot of commands in there. You start thinking, how on earth do I live up to this? How do I obey his commands and teach other people to do the same? Well, one of the things I'll tell you is that I think the Sermon on the Mount is designed by Jesus. It's designed for us to fail at it and be driven back to God, I need your help. But it's not a one-time failure. It's not like you try it once and then you're done. Like, oh, I tried that. Jesus wants us to try to fully obey him. And then when we fail, to come back to him and say, Jesus, I need your help. Will you help me? And then to try again and again and again. And that friction of knowing that we're called to be more than we are, that's how God molds us to be great. It's like you're a hunk of marble, like a big square block of marble, and Jesus sees the great sculpture that's inside of that hunk of marble. But he's going to use a lot of friction to knock all these pieces off until the sculpture comes out, right? And that's what trying to obey Jesus, that's all that friction inside of us. It comes up against all these parts of us that aren't like Jesus. There's all this friction there. And when we come back to Jesus again and again, help me, that's how he changes us. So, if you want to start trying to obey the Sermon on the Mount, I've got kind of an analogy for you. I'm taking it from another person. It's from Anne, let me look at her name here, Anne Lamont. It's from a book called Bird by Bird. She named the whole book after it. Her book is about how to write, because a lot of people set out to write a novel, and then it's really hard, and they quit. That's probably most of the people that set out to write a novel. So she wrote this book to try to encourage people, and the big analogy at the beginning to encourage people is of this kid who has to write this report on birds. And I think it was actually maybe her brother. I don't think it was her. But so the kid was supposed to be doing this bird report thing on like 50 different birds all school year long during elementary school. And you can imagine, what does this kid do? Waits till the last weekend right before it's due, and he's got to write a report on like 50 different birds. And so he's sitting at this table with all these books all around him on birds, and it's overwhelming. He has just a blank sheet of paper, and his hands are like this. It's so overwhelming. He thinks, I'll never get this thing done. And so the dad comes in and sits down at the table, and the advice to this little kid is, you just have to go bird by bird. Like, you just have to start with one and just You just got to get started. You just got to take it one at a time and work on it and work on it and work on it. And so that's her advice for how do you write a novel. Well, you do it one page at a time or sentence at a time. My advice for you today, if you're thinking, I want to be this person who doesn't set aside the commands of God. I want to be this person who follows God's commands and teaches other people to do the same. Then let's start this way. Let's start one thing at a time. Like, what if this week you would just obey Jesus to go one step further? To say, I'm going to follow one command, and I'm going to teach some other people to do it. So I had Donnie and Barbie helped me with this. We went and put sermon notepads all throughout the pews. And if you're in the front row, you've got pads underneath you probably. So if you guys will grab a sheet of paper, and there's not a ton of pads around, so you may have to share or get to know your neighbors. Grab something to write with. Everybody will need something to write with and a pad of paper and, yeah, or a piece of paper. Lester, can I steal a piece of paper or have? Thank you. Oh, thank you. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, I shouldn't steal. You guys are right. I'm looking for a pen as well. But there's a pen right here. So, okay, thank you guys. So what we're going to do is write ABC. You can use your whole piece of paper here. ABC. I see people moving and stuff, so. Okay. ABC. On A, what I want you to write is one command of Jesus that you know. Maybe this is something he's already been kind of hammering your heart with. One command of Jesus that you're like, yep, I'm sure of that one. I know that Jesus said it, or I know that Jesus wants me to do it. So even if you don't know a lot about the Bible, if you do have your Bible open to Matthew 5, 6, and 7, you can just look down a little bit. He says a whole lot of things. But write something that you know Jesus said that's a command. And when I say Jesus said, I'll use that term loosely if it's something from anywhere in the Bible, something that God wants you to do. So if you're looking for things, just things that pop into my head from the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says that we're not supposed to lust, that we're not supposed to lust with our eyes after somebody. Jesus says that we're supposed to give to people who ask of us, which is hard to figure out exactly how to do that well, but that's a command. He says that we're not supposed to do our acts of generosity in a way that shows off to other people. One that I wrote down that's from the Sermon on the Mount that I feel like he's been convicting me of earlier this week is to not worry. So do not worry is what I wrote, because in Matthew 6, Jesus says that like three different times. Do not worry. Do not worry. Do not worry. Okay, so you got a command of Jesus written down, hopefully. If you don't have A filled out, the rest of this won't really make sense. So hopefully you got something there. Okay, B, how can you practice it this week? So you have to do some of the work right now. Think about, okay, how would I do that this week? So some of these things are hard. It's hard to just like know that you can definitely do it all week long, but at least what's a practical step you could take? So for me with Do Not Worry, I wrote read and pray. I believe it's Matthew 6:34. I'm going to have to look that up, but about seek first his kingdom and his righteousness will always be given to you as well. 6:33. Okay, so get that reference correct and then read and pray every morning about that, about like Jesus give me victory over worry. And honestly, like just a double thing, I put a reminder in my phone of that same thing. So it'll pop up with that verse to read and pray about it. So I can't necessarily guarantee that I'm not going to worry this week, but I can be praying and saying, God, help me with it. And then I'm doing something at least by reading the scripture. Now, you could probably take a lot more proactive step than that, but at least come up with something that you're going to do that you weren't going to do before you walked in the room. Oh, Joe said I was right, verse 34. Anyway, it doesn't really matter. So we'll find it. And then C, our last one, two people that you can teach it to. This isn't just someone I meet on Tuesday. Write their names. If you don't know their names, write a description, or you can draw a picture. It's a notepad, I guess, but however you want to do it. think of two people you could teach this to. Now, what do I mean by teach? I don't mean you got to sit them in a classroom and have a whiteboard. Think about somebody that taught you how to do something that Jesus wants you to do. Maybe they just did it with you, bought you something at Quick Trip on the way. Maybe they just talked to you about it in a humble way. If you went to somebody and asked for forgiveness to try to make amends, you might actually be teaching that person how to make amends, even though you're taking this very humble road. Okay, but think about who are two people that you could teach that thing that you're working on. Now, the first thought in your head, let me ask a question about you guys first. How many of you, raise a hands, you feel like, between B and C, how many of you feel like B is going to be the hardest one for you this week? Raise your hand. Quite a few of you, actually, okay. How many of you feel like C is the harder one for you? That's how first service was too. The majority of people felt like I'm more intimidated by trying to teach to other people than I am by trying to do it myself. Here's the thing I would say that's great news for you. If you feel inadequate to teach someone else, you're actually in a very safe place to not make that mistake that the Pharisees and the teachers of the law made. Like, you're in a very humble state. If I don't have this all figured out, I'm not an expert. That's actually a very usable to God sort of spirit to have. Okay? And Jesus is the one calling us to greatness. He's the one saying, you can be great. Do these things I've told you to do and teach other people to do them. And so you got these two names here. What if you prayed about it and said, Jesus, help me teach Sally Smith or, you know, Jimmy Smith or whoever it is that you wrote down. Help me. Because here's the thing. If you want to have a great week as God defined it, or as Jesus defines it, it's that you do something he commanded and that you teach other people. Like, he's given you the option. Final thing we're going to have, I'm going to invite Daniel and the worship team to come back up. The final thing for us today to think about, the thing that makes this different than just self-help or trying to do something on your own, is that we need Jesus' help to carry this out. So you have your game plan now, and you have your little sheet of paper, and you can stick it in your pocket. But the reality is, if this is just Jake Taylor trying to do this, it's going to fail. If it's just you trying to be a better person, it's going to fail. If it's just you trying to help two other people, it's going to fail. But if you'll take it during the response time and say, Jesus, this is my best idea on how to be great, like you talked about it, and you will take it to Jesus and say, Jesus, will you make me great? Then I believe Jesus will take our humble attempt at obedience, he'll take it and use it, and he will make us great. Let's pray. Jesus' greatness that you want to give us, it's about us being changed. And I pray you would change us this week as we attempt to obey, as we attempt to teach others. I pray you would use that as an opportunity to mold us to be great like you are great. Thank you for opening the door to greatness for us. It's in your name we pray. Amen.